Hello, good morning. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John 15. Can you turn me up a little bit? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Amen. Okay, so again, this is the Upper Room Discourse. Final words to his disciples before he goes to the cross. He starts off again with another I am statement. Remember, these statements are very, very important to John. And they have, a lot of times, they have double meaning. And so let me just do a little step back and explain the motif of vine in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, going all the way from Psalm 80, Psalm 80 says that he took the vine out of Egypt and he planted it in this, you know, in Palestine, and that it became fruitful. And so to a Hebrew, to a person in Palestine listening to Jesus speaking this time, you would have very mixed feelings about what he's saying here. Because he's saying, you know, he's not just saying he is the vine. He's saying, I am the true vine. And so the Israelites, all through, I mean, you go Isaiah, Hosea, Psalm, Jeremiah, all through the Old Testament, prophets particularly, and even Jesus himself in Mark chapter 12, he goes and he gives the picture that Israel is the vineyard. And so, remember, the vine keeper does, you know, this and that. And so even one of his parables, he lays aside the Old Testament truth that Israel is the vine. Now, the reason why the vine has mixed messages attached to it, if you read Hosea chapter 10, Hosea says that God made Israel to be this luxuriant vine, and it prospered, and it grew a lot of fruit. And that's a nod to God's choosing Israel. And so Israel planted, and God planted Israel really deep. It had really deep roots. And out of those deep roots, a lot of beautiful, wonderful things came out of it. And they were blessed in so many ways. But see, to the Israelite, the flip side, and these were all the prophets come in, the flip side of this is that because they were so fruitful and bountiful, it led them to idolatry. And if you want to read more, go to Hosea 10, and you can kind of get the whole drama of this whole thing. And very interesting. God says, you're the vine, always the vine. Okay, this is Old Testament motif. You're the vine. Unfortunately, because you're the vine and because you are fruitful, you became idolatrous. And so it's like a double, you know? It's like you're blessed, but because you're blessed, it led you away from the Lord. Now, that is very, very true. It is very true. I'm Korean, and so I've actually studied some Korean church history. And if you chart the spirituality of South Korea, you can see that when times got really tough, people went to the Lord. And then when times got really good, they fell away from the Lord. Actually, I mean, because Koreans are just, we're just out there. You know what I mean? Like, there's no guile. It's like, what you see is what you get. And so, the way that is charted, actually through Christian statistics, in times of prosperity, Korea, church attendance has gone down dramatically. In times of difficulty, church attendance has always risen. And I'm sure it's probably true in most cultures as well, you know, but, American church history, same thing. You know, during the Great Depression, there were massive prayer movements. There was actually one particular movement that started in Wall Street, believe it or not. And it was started by a lay person in New York City. His name was Jeremiah Lamphere. And he started calling businessmen, bankers, from the great stock market crash to church for a noontime prayer. You can look it up in history. It's pretty amazing. And an incredible revival broke out during that time. And so much so that in New York City, you couldn't get a seat in a church during noon. I mean, can you imagine that happening right now? I mean, I know, and trust me, some of you guys that are working in financial markets, it's going to get worse, okay? And so, but can you imagine that bankers, you know, these, I'm not talking about the ones at our church, but outside, you know, those arrogant suckers, and they go out and they start coming to our noontime prayer. Would that be crazy? You know, that happened during the stock market crash in the 20s in the United States. It's the great noontime revival. You can look it up, a guy named Jeremiah Lamphere. And so we see that happens. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, notice what he says. He says, I am the true vine. In other words, just taking this out, I am the chosen of God and firm roots, planted, blessed, but it didn't lead me to idolatry. In other words, and you know how he constantly says, I took care of everyone you gave me, you know, and he was faithful. He was faithful to the end. He didn't let one of them go. He didn't let one of them depart from his hand. And so he's the true vine. He's what Israel always should have been. Now, this was another thing would be confounding to the Jews, to the Palestinians then, is that, well, the vine is referring to a nation. How can it refer to one person? And so they have to kind of have a little paradigm shift in this regard. Now, let me make a note of this. The vine, in talking about here, does not refer to the church. It's referring to Jesus Christ, okay? And this is where we start getting into coming to some of our theology on Israel and the church. And a lot of times when people start, if you've ever heard the term replacement theology, that people think that the church has replaced Israel. The church has never replaced Israel. Israel is still found in God's heart. What the church did, and you'll read that in the book of Romans, the church is grafted with Israel. And you know, again, the imagery is the vine again, that you see how it goes out. So I'm the true vine, and the Father, he's the vine dresser. He's the one that's doing all these things. And there's plenty of passages. Like I said, Psalm 80, Isaiah chapter 5, Romans chapter 11, you know, talking about the church and the relationship. Also, it gives a little nod to that. He says, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So he's using this motif. Oh, by the way, I should mention this. Vineyard, grapes, wine, these are all messianic images. And so think about it. Grapes, vine, grapes, wine, even drunkenness and banquet. These are all five main emphases that's dealing with messianic times. And you'll have prophets, minor prophets, major prophets, they'll all speak about this great wedding feast. Well, there'll be an abundance of wine. There'll be abundance. And in fact, and even in some Jewish festivals, it is appropriate to get drunk. Sometimes in Purim, you know, during Esther, it's actually you're meant to get a little bit tipsy in that regard, because that was a sign of the Messiah coming. It was the sign of great prosperity and just incredible celebration, you know, that goes forth. Now, that doesn't give us license to get drunk. Okay, so amen. I don't want you to take my words and, oh, Pastor Seb said, we're just celebrating the time to come. And don't do that. Because it's quite clear, you know, number one, none of you guys are Jewish. And I don't think you guys celebrate Purim or any of these festivals. And so be wise in that regard. So he says when there's a branch in this vine, so he's the vine, every branch does not bear fruit, he takes away that. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. So pruning is just really simply the word cleaning or cleansing. And he snips away at it. He cuts off some things in our lives. It's really important. I know nothing about gardening, okay? But I bought a house, when I used to live in California. And the lady that used to live in the house was a gardener. And I inherited this house, and she had the most beautiful roses, man. I mean, backyard, front yard. It's like one of the reasons why I really like this house is when you walked in, you know, going to the front door, you just beautiful smell of roses and, I mean, all kinds of beautiful things. And so, I bought the house. I owned the house. And within 6 months, all the roses died. I didn't know you had to take care of them. I just thought they just grew on their own, you know, and so I didn't do anything. I mean, literally nothing. I was thinking, what happened to all these roses? And then my neighbor had mercy on me, and so she came out and she showed me, and so I went, you know, back then we had no internet, believe it or not. Well, you had internet, but, you know, there was no Google and stuff. So I had to go to Home Depot and actually buy a book instead of, you know, watching YouTube. And how to prune. And the thing is, like, it's very meticulous. You have to cut. You have to actually cut. And sometimes I think, I don't want to cut that. That's where it's going to grow. And my neighbor's, no, you got to cut it. If you don't cut it, it's not going to grow. I still don't understand the mechanics of that, but I know that it's true. If you don't cut it, it just doesn't grow. And so, sure enough, we started, and it looked like nothing. I mean, seriously, I was like, it's so ugly, man. It's bare, just a few, you know, things like that. It's like we cut everything off. Next season, man, we had some beautiful roses. And I understood what Jesus was saying. Sometimes it's a little painful to cut stuff off. Sometimes it doesn't seem right. You know, like, cut this branch. But, you know, God knows. Why? He's the vine dresser. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly which branch, and sometimes it's painful when things get cut off our lives, isn't it? Sometimes it doesn't feel good. It doesn't look right. But God is the vine dresser. And God knows which branches are going to bear fruit. And just my testimony, that you know, I was very skeptical. And I had a plan. I was going to yell at my neighbor and say, man, you cut too much off. But sure enough, next season, beautiful. And I had that wonderful smell once again as I came into the front door of my house. You know, I have a garage, and there's a garage entry like most American houses. I would purposely walk outside and don't go through the garage. I would go through my front yard because the smell was so nice. And I mean, it's such a beautiful aroma, beautiful to see when things grow and blossom, isn't it? And that's exactly what God wants in our lives. He doesn't cut things off because he's mad at us or he's angry with us. He doesn't do it because he disciplines us. He does it because something beautiful is going to come out of it. And I know sometimes when we go through difficult times and those times God is pruning and we're like, God, why? Just wait. Something beautiful is going to come out of it. Something so fragrant, something so wonderful, something for so many people to enjoy is going to come as a result of that. And so then he starts with really this quite a beautiful kind of picture for us. And he says, if you abide in me, if you, the other translations use the word remain. And I kind of actually like that word a little better. You know, 'cause I don't really know what abiding means, to be honest. But I know what it means to remain. And it just means just to be close and stick side by side. And if you remain in me, my words remain in you, and then go inside of you, he says you're going to bear a lot of fruit. And verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. Now, the first one, he's speaking particularly to Israel. Okay, even though he's still speaking to only the disciples, but he says, I'm the true vine. And so he's making a nod to Old Testament again. Now he says, I'm the vine. And he says, you are the branches. So that imagery, so you got to stay close. From the vine, the branches go out. They need to get nutrients from the vine that goes down from the roots. And he says, and if you abide in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And this is the truth. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I want to suggest to you, if you really believe that, you'd be a man and woman of prayer. Just there's no other shortcuts about that. If you really believe that, you would be a man and woman of prayer. You would be a man and woman of his word, because that's where our sustenance comes from. And if, again, you know, constantly he talks about, if you believe this, you'll do it. Maybe we need to sit back. It's like to take a step back and say, do I really believe that? Because my actions are not really consistent with my belief. In fact, I betray my convictions by my actions. And so if you really believe that apart from him, we can't do anything. You know, even the air that we breathe is a gift from him. And when our heart is really fixed in that way, it just orders our life around the things of God. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And again, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me, I love this, verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. This is one of the great teachings on prayer. Really, it's one of the great teachings on prayer. And we notice here that God answers all prayer. Okay? He does. God answers all prayer. The problem is, or the problem that we tend to have a lot of times, is we don't really like the answer that God gives us sometimes. God answers all prayer. God says yes. God says wait, right? And God says no. And usually this is the it's the no and the wait that we really have difficulty with. But what are some requirements to answered prayer? And it, I mean, it's just, it says, if you abide in me, in other words, you remain in the Lord, you have an intimate relation with God, that Jesus is the center, and that's really that's cultivating intimacy and relationship, and then his words abide in you. So now the scriptures are also inside of you, which means that you're living according to his word, that you're really walking in faithfulness. You know, I mean, I share this a lot. You know, sometimes I talk with couples, you know, dating couples, you know, and some of you guys have experienced this when you talk to me. You know, one of the first things I'll say is, hey, are you sexually pure? You know, are you making sure that you're keeping pure and you're really loving the other person instead of loving yourself? And a lot of people are kind of just shocked, you know, and because the first thing they say, oh, Peace Sam, we're dating, you know. They're expecting me to say, yeah, awesome. And I say, oh, that's wonderful. Are you pure? You know, are you living according to his word? Because and I explained to them, I says that the reality is, I know you're asking God to bless you, which is wonderful, but then you're violating particularly what God wants you to do in relationships. So how does God bless you then? Or how is he able to bless you in that regard? So I just kind of have them in the right mind. But I mean, wouldn't it be fruitless for us in many ways to ask God to bless us in our work? But yet that the way we do our work is so disingenuous and just not with any integrity, and we lie all the time. You know what I mean? And things like that. And God's kind of, I imagine God's in heaven is like, well, yeah, I'm going to bless you, but my word is not in you. You're not abiding. And his heart is to bless. And so if we abide in him, we're in relationship, walking that place, in relationship meaning that his priority is greater than our priority, and then his words abide in us, that we're living according to his word. How can a young man keep himself pure? By living according to your word. I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And it's that hiding God's word in our hearts. And that's how a young man can keep pure. And when we do that, and he says, then you have those things going for you, ask whatever you want. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Isn't that awesome? Right? Because, you know, the simple reality is that if we really, really abide in the Lord, God will change our prayers. He will literally change our prayers. And we think that, oh, we need this. And as we draw closer to God and we just get into that space with the Lord, our prayers will change. I'm not saying you'll get what you won't get what you want. You'll get more than you want. And your prayers will become bigger. You know, your prayers will become more grand. They'll become a little more ludicrous in some ways. And because God is a big God, and he'll change us as we abide in him. And so, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Again, going back to the last verse, and really a lot of this is really encouraging the disciples, man, you gotta walk in obedience. And he's connecting actions and words once again here, all throughout. And then the last part, from 12 on, for 12 a little bit, is this idea of love again, that he started the chapter before. Remember, he said, a new commandment I give to you? Now he's expounding on that a little bit more, and he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So abide in him, let his word abide in you. That sounds a lot like the Shema, doesn't it, in Deuteronomy? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then you should love your neighbor as yourself in this regard. And so we see that he's saying you gotta give everything to the Lord and then love one another. And he gives us the example of what that kind of love is. In verse 13, it says, greater love is no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And he says, you're my friends. If you do what I command you. Again, obedience. I know obedience is a very difficult word, especially in our culture, in our time. People don't like that word obedience. They don't like that word submission. They like freedom and all these things. But constantly, the words of the Lord, I mean, these deep words, he tells them, right? If you are my friends, how do you become a friend of God? You do what he commands you to do. It's really, really simple. And he says, look, I don't call you, you're not a slave. A slave doesn't know what his master is doing. Right, but you've heard that, you know, everything that I heard from my father, I've made known to you. And I love this verse 16. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. You know how important it is for the disciples to hear this? Because every single one of those guys in that room will turn their back on the Lord. And they'll come back and be reminded of this. Oh, yeah, you know, I didn't choose you. Lord, you chose me. He's already starting the restoration process, you know, from the beginning, which we'll see later on in the end of John, particularly John 21, that he'll bring to a climax there. And so this is the command that you love one another. All right, so let's close our eyes. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today that you pray this morning as if the words of Jesus are true. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's pray today in such a way that we really believe that. And so we ask him to help us in our work, help us in our relationships, help us as parents, and not just ask God to help us when we're in crisis, but simply because we know that, Lord, I can't do anything without you. And let's ask Holy Spirit, our helper, to teach us what it means to remain in him. And his words to remain in us. Ask Holy Spirit to teach us what it means to abide in the Lord. Let's pray. Let's abide. Let's ask God to remain in me. Let's quiet our heart and our mind. Let's steady our will. And just so Jesus, just invite Him. And I'm reminded of the passage in Luke. And they're on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus was talking to them on the road. And as they hit a fork in the road, and the two guys, Cleopas and his friend, were going a different route, the Bible says Jesus acted as though He would go farther. And then the two guys said, "Hey, Jesus, where are you going? Come stay with us. Come remain with us." And I think that passage really illustrates quite a powerful point. That even though He's our Lord and Savior, but yet He always is looking for an invitation. I really like the way Luke says it. He says He acted as though He would go. He didn't want to go farther, but He acted as though He would go farther. Because He's waiting for an invitation. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about an invitation for salvation. I'm talking about a daily invitation to intimacy. Lord, come stay with me. Jesus, just come hang out with me. Lord, I want to talk to you. Lord, I want to be with you. This morning, let's invite Him into intimacy. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayer focus, and let's pray for our community. Let's ask for Holy Spirit to come and really minister effectively and lovingly to our body, that God's healing word would flow. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our community that's ill, but also needs to meet with the Lord. Ask you to pay careful attention. The last one, Isabel Yee, her mom passed away yesterday morning. And so if you can lift her mom and their family to the Lord right now, let's continue to lift up. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision, open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's lift up China right now. Let's ask God to continue to breathe the wind, His Holy Spirit upon this land. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe and the baby in the womb. Let's pray for the Chung family as well and ask God's hand to be upon them in their travels and ministry. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, especially they embark on a new Bible translation project. Pray for Edie Clark and their ministry, and pray for their churches, and ask God to continue to blow His Spirit, especially as the markets continue to tumble there. Pray that people would trust not in money, but trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray for our staff, our pastors and ministry leaders and administrators. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us, that we would work well, hard for the Lord, and also well together as a team. It'd be a real continued sense of unity among our group. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our worship sound and media teams. And let's pray for a real heart of worship. Pray for excellence in everything they do. Pray that their public worship would be a result of private devotion. And let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and our barista. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers, and pray for a real joy to emanate from them, especially as they greet our people coming to church. Let's pray for House Church tonight, for Fontana, Cornhill, Kowloon, Garden, Old Peak Road, and Soho. Let's pray for our leaders and our hosts and all the members as they gather together, that they would really have a significant time in ministry tonight. Go to our member focus today. Let's pray for Connie Chu from Happy Valley House Church. Let's pray for intimacy with Christ and relationship breakthroughs. Pray for family salvation and reconciliation, and for a miraculous healing for her father. Let's lift up Connie and her family. Let's pray for Reno, the House Church leader, New Conduit Road. Let's pray for better relationships with family. Pray for family salvation and surrendering his work life to the Lord. Let's lift up Reno. Let's pray for Kiwon, Robinson Bay House Church leader. Let's pray for protection and health over family. Pray for intimacy with the Lord and for him to hear him clearly. And wisdom and direction over work, house church, and SP board. Let's lift up Kiwon. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for your words, Lord. God, if we abide in you and your words abide in us, God, Lord, we can ask you anything, Lord, and you said you'd do it. We're not We don't want to focus on the asking you for anything, God. We want to focus you on the abiding. Lord, if we remain in you, God, and your words remain in us, Lord, there's nothing that we can't do for you, God. And so, Lord, we ask you to remain, God. Lord, as a church, Lord, we ask you to remain. Lord, don't just come and visit, God, or come and stay. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, help us as we pray today. Lord, with a deep knowledge, Lord, that apart from you, we can do nothing. So give us that kind of intensity, Lord. Lord, as if everything depends on it, because it does. Thank you, God. Watch over us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.